All right, I think we can start. Sunday afternoon at Vosdem is always a bit more difficult. People are tired, they're already drunk. So thank you for being here, and let's make it fun. So MicroPython OS. Who am I? I'm Thomas Farstrike. I'm the creator of MicroPython OS. And I have a background in kernel development, embedded Linux, and C, C++. I tried to draw myself there, but maybe I should have used a picture. I don't know. Not great. So how did this start? So 1 year ago, I was asked to build a device using a microcontroller, an ESP32. Is there anyone who already worked on ESP32s? Anyone before? Yeah. Half of the room. So the device is beautiful, has a nice touchscreen, all kinds of sensors, has a camera, so it's a beefy microcontroller. So I thought, okay, I'll just, you know, install whatever operating system they have there in the picture of the vendor, and I'll just make an app for it and put it in the app store, and then that will be the end of the day. But apparently this wasn't possible. This didn't exist. ESP32 apps are usually created from start using some libraries, but you can't just dynamically load something in memory and execute it. So I thought, okay, let's just create it myself then. First, I looked at doing it in C, C++. That's what I know. There are lots of libraries available. It's lightweight and the logical choice. So the idea was forming. That's why Drake looks a bit blurry there. Idea is coming. But this was a no-go. Turns out this ESP32 has a very limited MMU. So you have to custom compile the C code into a binary. It's a challenge to maintain if you can even get it working. Very unforgiving, of course. As we know, in C you have to allocate memory yourself. And it's easy to make mistakes. So this was going to be very difficult, and even if I was successful, I would have to find an easy way for apps to be developed on top. And we all know making apps in C is not trivial. Maybe for most of you guys it's doable, but an app developer wants to have it easy. And that's why I thought maybe use MicroPython OS. Drake likes this too. There's dynamic loading of code, scripts and binaries. It's a modern language, so memory management is done for you. Very easy to make apps in Python. And you can even make device drivers also in MicroPython. First, I was very skeptical about MicroPython. I tried it before, and it wasn't very stable when I tried it. It didn't work very well, but I took a second look 1 year ago, and it's surprisingly fast. Many libraries are available, have been ported now. It runs on desktop natively. You have a very quick coding cycle, and it's like 99% of the Python features are in MicroPython. So then I started proving the concept. So I made, on the top left, I made a launcher that can just, load an application, load an app from the storage and launch it. Okay, that worked. Then I made a Wi-Fi app to be able to connect to the Wi-Fi and download apps. That works as well. Okay, nice. Installing apps worked. And then, of course, also important, over-the-air updates, so that you can update the operating system. So these five or six apps, they worked. And so that was very promising. So high-level architecture that I went with is from the bottom to the top. Let's see, we have the low-level drivers are in the kernel. So the free RTOS kernel on ESP32, Darwin on macOS, so both the macOS kernel and then the frameworks on low level. Same for Linux, so the kernel, low-level frameworks, and then in it you run a MicroPython runtime, and on a high level you have MicroPython drivers, and C drivers, and frameworks are also written in MicroPython and C, and then apps are the cherries on top of the cake. So that's on a high level. But of course, this is building on top of other cool things. So that we have LevelGL, this makes it beautiful. So with LevelGL, you can make lightweight but beautiful user interfaces, many widgets, very actively developed. So if you haven't heard about it, this is the thing to use. And I should also give credit to LevelGL MicroPython, because LevelGL is written in C, and the MicroPython bindings weren't very usable. But this project, LevelGL MicroPython, took it to the next level. They made it really easy to use LevelGL in MicroPython. So that's also what MicroPython OS is using. And then it's important to learn a few lessons from Android. The good, and copy the good, and also to avoid the bad. So the good things from Android is, as you know, you create an app once and it runs on all of the supported Android devices. It's easy to make an app. You have to compile it, so that's a bit less. On MicroPython OS, you don't even have to compile your app. It's just a script that's executed. But the frameworks in Android are also good. The user interface is good. Yeah, millions of dollars have been spent on it, so let's copy what we can. But let's also avoid the mistakes of Android. For example, only releasing the source code twice per year. Yeah, that's not great. Also, I heard that they will maybe make it difficult to install your own APKs on your devices. You might need a developer account. So they're closing off the system a bit. And so these are things that, of course, we want to avoid. So why would you use MicroPython OS? It's very lightweight. You can see the snake is eating its own tail. That's how lightweight it is. It boots in 3 seconds. It's written in Python. So if you like Python, then for sure. 100% open development. The commits are just all in the open. Frequent releases. It runs native on desktop. And yeah, it's a growing, fun, exciting new thing that's coming up. So it's very nice to use. I had to innovate a bit on top of this to make things easier for the users. Because you see on the top, that's the default keyboard that you get in LevelGL when you make a keyboard. But on a tiny touchscreen, this is very hard to use. If you have to type your Wi-Fi password on a keyboard like that, you need children's fingers to be able to type on that. So I made a new one, MPOS keyboard. Buttons are 50% larger, and that makes 100% easier to type. Then I used swipe gestures for navigation. So I don't want to waste any screen estate on buttons that are on screen if it's not necessary. To go back, you swipe from the left edge, like on Android, if you enable it. To open the menu, you swipe from the top, like on Android. So that way we save some screen estate. I also optimized the QR decoding to use higher resolutions that were not available in the driver by default. To be able to scan high resolution, high density QR codes from a phone screen, you really need this higher resolution. I added a video for Linux 2 camera driver for MicroPython, so that when I run it on a laptop, or when someone runs it on their laptop, they can use the camera from their laptop for debugging, for testing, or for just taking pictures. And then the joystick for focus direction, because LevelGL by default just has a next and a previous button. So in the launcher, you have to go by all the icons to select an app. But if you have a joystick, like I do on some devices, then focus direction, just point in a direction and the focus moves in that direction. Then I ported MicroPython Noster to MicroPython, Python Noster to MicroPython Noster. So, but Noster is not very well known. Is there anyone who has heard about Noster? No? Ah, one person, nice, nice. So it's a kind of a more decentralized relay protocol that can be used for social media, but also for discovery, for publishing. It's a lightweight protocol that has a growing community. And finally, also had to add MicroPython bindings for ECDH to be able to use Noster. So this is MicroPython OS, but of course, it's useless if you don't have apps on top of it. The only reason for existing is apps. So to make apps for MicroPython OS, here's a Hello World example. So you can see it's just a few lines of code, a class Hello that extends from activity. And then in the onCreate function, we create a screen, we create a label, we set some text, Hello World, on the label, we center the label, and then we publish the screen. We tell the framework to show this screen. And if anyone ever wrote an Android app, this is what you would do on Android as well, just in a Python syntax. So very familiar. The idea is to make it very easy. Then you create a manifest.json file, and there you put some info about your app. So the version number, the name of the app, and also the entry point, the thing that needs to be executed to start your app. You define this in a manifest.json. And then you package the whole bundle of the icon of the app and the manifest and the source code. You bundle everything into an MPK, just like on Android where we have APKs. It's just a simple zip file. And then you have a nice bundle with your app. And then you publish it in the App Store. So the App Store currently has two backends. The original one was or is apps.micropythonos.com. So this is a curated list of the best apps that they've been reviewed. They're known to be working well. And if you want to be listed there, just reach out on through the chat, which I will show later. So that's a curated list. But now we also have support for Badge Hub. So this was created for the Y 2025 event for that badge. So the microcontroller that you receive when you go to the event. There was a kind of an app store was also created. And this app store now also has support for MicroPython OS apps. And of course, we can add more backends if they're very welcome, both centralized backends or maybe more decentralized backends based on Noster are welcome there. So which apps do we have currently? I'm spending most of my time working on the frameworks and the OS, so most of the apps there are pretty basic, just proof of concepts, ready to be improved. But so we have the Lightning Piggy there. That's kind of a big one. This was funded by the Lightning Piggy Foundation. They wanted to have an app that is a bit like a wallet that teaches kids or people in general to save for the really long term, to save for their first car in 15 years or their first house in 20 years, to save in the long term. But of course, you cannot do that with euros. They become worth less and less. Maybe you could do it with gold or silver, but this one does it with Bitcoin. So sending tiny amounts of Bitcoin to the wallet. That's that app. And of course, we have a camera app with QR decoding, an image viewer to view your images that you make. But we have a few games, like this Flappy Bird clone. It's called Quasi Bird. And then, of course, a music player, a sound recorder. Most of them are proof of concept, just to make sure the hardware and the frameworks work. They're pretty basic because it's still very early days. And we have, yeah, 8 more. Now it's 9 more because another one landed this week. And why would you build an app for MicroPython OS? Well, it's fun to do and it's easy. Very easy, few lines, 100 lines of Python, 200 lines of Python, and your app will work. Or you can make it very hard if you like. You can make something very complex. It's educational. If you're like me, you didn't know Python, then this is a perfect opportunity to start playing with it. Many examples, because everything is open source, nice community, and the next one I also like, you'll be one of the only apps that offers that functionality, instead of being one of the hundreds of apps. So for example, we don't have a calendar app. If you make one, then people will use your app. We don't have an alarm clock app. Make one, it's just a few lines of code, and then you will be the alarm clock. And it's a growing field, so that's always fun. We have good documentation. All the frameworks are documented and updated, docs.micropythonos. And we support a few hardware devices, and more are coming. So let's take a look. So the first one is this Waveshare S3 Touch 2. Awesome device. It has SD card, it has an IMU, it has a touchscreen, it has battery management, so you can connect the battery. And it has a camera, so yeah, it's a microcontroller, but yeah, it's a powerful one. So if you want to start playing with MicroPython OS on a physical device, this is a nice one to buy. But of course, it's still a microcontroller. It has just 300 kilobytes of RAM, 8 megabytes of PSRAM connected, and then 16 megabytes of ROM. So it's like a computer for ants, or like an IBM PS2 from 1981. But of course the cost is 100 times less. The second one that's supported is the FrightCamp 2024 badge. So who here has heard about FrightCamp in Belgium? Yeah, a few. So this is every 2 years, there's a family-friendly camp for hackers, for makers in Belgium. And all the participants, kids and adults, they all get a badge, so they can wear it on their clothes or they can play with it. And this is a microcontroller, ESP32 based, with a display, a few buttons, a buzzer, an IMU, multicolor LEDs, and you can also connect expansion boards. So yeah, this is a nice one. This year's FrightCamp badge is in the oven, is being baked, so the prototypes are being made, and this one will have a touchscreen, so that will be also very cool, and an audio jack. It will also support RetroGo for playing games like Doom and Game Boy and NES, so will be a nice device. And here is another announcement, is that we reached out to manufacturers and they're also interested in installing MicroPython OS in the factory, by default, on their boards, on the ESP32s. Because we all know how disappointing it can be. You receive an ESP32 and it doesn't do anything. It shows a demo, but you have to spend weeks making your app before you can actually use it. But by adding MicroPython OS in the factory, the vendors already have a fully functional, like Android-like device that people can install apps on. So we've received this week samples of the first device from a small manufacturer in China. And also a bigger manufacturer in China has shipped us samples also this week. And I can already say that the second one is a new form factor. It will be a smartwatch and it will have LoRa as well. So it will be very fun to play with and to port MicroPython OS to. So for now, we are doing this for free, this porting, because we want to, you know, spread it around and have a bigger install base. So if you're also working on a device and you also want to have it ported there, hurry if you want to have this done for free. Now, we have a few minutes for a live demo. Of course, demos are always scary, risky. Will it work? And so where is the demo? You're looking at the demo. We've been in MicroPython West the whole time. Let me prove it to you. So when I click, then I exit the full screen. And this was the, actually, this is the Image Viewer app. So I'm just in the Image Viewer. Let's not click delete. And yeah. So I can press escape to go back, but I'll just swipe from the left to show this gesture, so going back. And here we have, yeah, have it running on my desktop here. So yeah, all the apps that I have here, some of them still under construction. So if I open, for example, the App Store, normally it doesn't run on such a huge display, but here we have the App Store showing apps, and then we can install apps and uninstall them, just basically unzipping. So I press escape to go back. I'm not going to show all of them, but maybe the camera is nice. So you see, this is the Video for Linux in action, and I can take a picture like that. We have the settings, we have the OS update. I'll do that one as the last one. So this, of course, the OS update, this is a simulation. It's downloading the update, but it's not really writing it to my disk because I want to, yeah, leave my operating system, leave my Linux as it is, and just have this running on top. So let's get back to the presentation. This was the picture I took. So here we go, the live demo. So just to finish up, we have four core contributors right now. Everyone's invited to at least come check it out. We have 15 and now 16 apps in the App Store, 20 forks on GitHub. Community chat has now 55 members, 300 plus stars on GitHub, and 2,000 commits. But those are rookie numbers. We have to pump those numbers up. In the roadmap, we have the factory installs. That's very exciting. We will add a few more frameworks to give it more capabilities, and then release an API 1.0, add more drivers, add more boards, and see where the community wants to take it. So it runs on ESP32s, but also everything on top. You can run it on a Raspberry Pi, you can run it on a Linux desktop. So the next step, I would say, is run it on desktop, if you like. And we have pre-built binaries. If you don't want to compile it yourself on Linux and macOS, you can just download the pre-built binary. I don't know why you want to use anything else. So you can build an app or get a supported device and flash it and install it and then publish it in the App Store. Installation is very easy. Also, we have this web installer, web serial. So just with your web browser, you go to install. And we have one firmware that works on all the different devices. So we detect on the ESP32, we detect the hardware at boot, and then we initialize the board properly. So MicroPython OS is waiting for you. Join the chat. It's just a Telegram chat that we redirect to. Clone the repo. And if there's any questions, you have 30 seconds.
Hello, so thanks a lot for this project. Would it be suitable start for a simple phone, like feature phone?
Yeah, so the question is if we can also run it on a phone?
Yes.
Yeah, this is a big dream of mine. Having LoRa is a step in the right direction, so more radio communication. Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, but indeed we just need to add support for the cell phone chip, and all the rest is pretty standard. So yeah, would be nice. Yeah. Thank you. All right.